Welcome to the Mother Forkin' Podcast. Where we feed you some real shit on parenting.
Danny Alpert is a talented writer, performer, Pilates instructor, filmmaker, and girlfriend mom. Her writing has appeared in publications including Medium, HuffPost, Babbel, Pilates Style Magazine, Stepmom Magazine, and The Hollywood Journal. She's spoken at lifestyle conferences and been interviewed on nationally syndicated radio shows for being the girlfriend mom. So, Danny, for our listeners who might not be familiar with you or the term, what is the girlfriend mom? And while you're at it, could you also tell us why you decided to write your memoir, The Girlfriend Mom?
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me. A girlfriend mom is exactly what it sounds like, courtesy of my lack of imagination. It's someone that's more than a girlfriend, but not quite a mom. Like, those two words have to go together. It's really the Jekyll and Hyde coexistence. And as I initially saw it, it was because my boyfriend and I weren't married, so stepmom didn't resonate. And I was also child-free by choice. So blended family didn't resonate either because I wasn't bringing anything to the party. So I just kind of thought about what are the two roles that I'm playing here and came up with the girlfriend mom. So why I wrote the memoir or how it came to be was I was still living with my ex, and it occurred to me that I never heard anyone talking about a girlfriend mom experience. I mean, some got close, but there was always a component that was missing. And I thought it would be funny, which is how I decide on doing most things in my life. So I started blogging, as one does, and that led to writing a book proposal, getting an agent, and then parting ways over creative differences with her. And I've been in the entertainment business long enough to know that waiting for the phone to ring is really unproductive. So most of my projects have been self-generated. Rejection is a powerful motivator. So I have been very motivated. So I just decided to write the book. I knew the story. So off I went. Yeah.
That's amazing. We love it. So one thing that this is Celeste speaking, by the way. I love that right from the start of your book, you're sharing your personal experiences and just your upbringing. And at one point growing up, you kind of fantasized wanting to have children. And then you went from like straight to like, no, I'm good, because of something that your mom said, which I quote from the book, says that you didn't want to live your life full of things that you just wanted to get over with. So I think that speaks volumes, because, you know, not every woman should feel pressured or want to have marriage or children. So do you feel like when you decided that you had enough support from, like, you know, people around you, people you love, to decide to be child free?
Well, let me just make one correction for our
correct me, definitely,
for our listening audience. I only wanted the pregnancy part. I didn't actually want the kids that usually, from what I hear, come from the pregnancy part. I just wanted the pregnancy part because, as a body professional and somebody who's always been in that fitness world, I was so fascinated by what the body can actually do. So it was a curiosity to me. And also, I was just addicted to television, medical dramas, and so the whole thing. And so I wanted to like the pregnancy part. That being said, yes, when talking about with my mom, like how she got married and this and that and the other thing, and I said, yeah, but you know, my brother and I, we're only 16 months apart. That's just not a lot of time. And she's like, you know what? It was great. I got it over with. Mm-hmm. So you're growing up with that kind of maternal love. And I can't blame her, although I would love to. But to me, something like wanting to have kids or not is biological. I really, really believe that you, it's like being, you know, 5'7". There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to be 5'7", you know? So it was never an issue for me, and not with my family or my friends. I mean, my friends and I never talked about getting married or having kids. We were focused on careers and being professional gals and taking over the world and fame. And when I told my parents that I didn't want kids, it was just never mentioned again. They saw what my dreams were, what I was pursuing, my goals, and having kids was just not a priority. And I just wasn't wired for it. And I never felt pressured by them or really anybody else. I was very, very, I was very lucky. I was one of the lucky ones, I think.
I love that answer and that perspective too. Because, you know, it's amazing that you can choose that and, you know, have the support that you did.
I think that I think we should talk about not here now, but in the world about why people have children. You know, why people decide to have children. It's just as valid as why women decide not to have kids. And it's such a personal choice that sometimes I feel like it's a little bit too open for discussion and people getting inside everyone's bedroom. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Yep. It's like, yep. I don't know. Yeah. I think I think there are other things we can talk about that are a little bit more, not relevant, but, I don't know, universal maybe, but yeah, nobody should ever be shamed for not wanting kids.
I totally get it, especially
by your own family, and then just that pressure because, well, this is what I did growing up and this is what was, you know, at my age. I mean, we either didn't go to college and just, you know, married our high school sweethearts and then started having kids right away super young and all this stuff versus now where it's like I'm in my mid-30s and I had two kids in my early 30s. You know, I grew up with like, okay, I'm going to be married by 28. I'm going to have two kids by 30. And then this is how my life's going to be. And I'm glad it didn't go that way. I'm glad it didn't go the way of my fully baked plan or what I thought was a plan. So that's something that I've definitely learned along the way. And I love that you were the quote unquote lucky ones or lucky one that was able to escape the wrath of your family or friends of being like, why don't you have kids? Cause that is a lot of pressure.
Right.
Especially if you can't get pregnant.
What
if you don't want to talk about it?
Well, exactly. That's the other thing too. Like, would it be different if I wasn't able to have kids?
Yeah.
To me, making a conscious choice, I knew who I was very early on and I knew what I wanted and what I didn't want. Isn't that being responsible? Isn't that being self-aware and knowing what you're capable or perhaps incapable of, or knowing you would be doing this and there would be resentment and all of this? Like, I think that's terribly responsible. As opposed to just doing something because you think you should or your mom did. Or, I mean, look, get my mom on the show. She may have a completely other, she may have another take on the whole situation that she wouldn't dare talk to me about.
So actually switching gears a little bit, because here you are saying, no, I chose to not have kids. But then now in your book, you end up falling in love with someone who does have two kids. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, I mean, that must have been pretty hard for you to actually commit to and eventually accept. But what were your thoughts about going into this relationship when you found out that Julian had children? And just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the first thought was I was so unbelievably attracted to him that all I cared about was how long it would take to get into each other's pants. So yes, I heard kids, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like the Peanuts cartoon, like you hear these sounds and I'm sure he said I have kids, but I really wasn't listening, nor did I care at that moment. However, you know, a few months in, things get a little bit more real. And yet I, because he didn't have full custody, it was alternating weekends. I still didn't think much of it. We still weren't living together and we still had our weekends together and everything was fine. I mean, I had it great. Then we moved in together and I didn't really get it because, first of all, I'm an idiot. And second of all, because he didn't have them every other weekend even then, you know, so it was still enough alone time and lust time. And then more and more and more and more. But by the time I opened my eyes and I realized what I had done, I was already committed. I had already bonded with Tyler because he was younger and we saw him more. So it didn't matter what I thought at that point. At that point, it then became, what do I need to do to make this work? How do I do this? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I have to do? Who do I have to talk to? Who can I rant and rave to? I mean, blinded, and then it was just too late. I was already in it. So
I love that. That's awesome. That's kind of like a perfect segue for the next question that we wanted to ask, which then kind of goes into like boundaries and then, you know, you learning how to just figure that all out and navigate those waters of building that relationship with the kids, with Tyler and Nicole. So talk to us about like how challenging that must have been to kind of grow into your quote unquote role. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because I say, what role? I mean, my place in the family, in this family already in progress was so grossly undefined. It was like learning a new language. Like I'd been dropped on my head into an alien nation. I mean, every step I took around them, every answer that I gave them was virgin territory. I was continually doubting, questioning, and worrying. I mean, I just was like a walking worry wart and so very insecure. You know, because I didn't think I had a right. What were my rights as this person? I'm Julian's girlfriend. I'm not their mom. They had a mom. So who am I to them? Am I just another adult? Am I a friend? Am I a play date? I mean, half the time with Tyler, it was like two children, you know, throwing balls against the wall and Julian going, what are you doing? You're marking up the wall. And I'd throw Tyler under the bus for sure. You know, so it's like, what did I need? It was very hard to ask Julian when it came to his kids, you know, to express what I was going through because I wasn't the parent. Like, who am I? I never wanted kids. So what could I know about anything? And that was the most difficult part of it was, when do I get to speak up? Do I get to speak up? How do I tell Julian that his kids are annoying me or they need to do this or do their homework or whatever? So yeah, it was very, it was just all about time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really tried to be kind to myself. It was difficult, but every year it got a little bit easier. You know, I got a little bit more comfortable in my skin. I gained more confidence.
And I'm sure they trusted you too, right?
You know, nobody was very verbal during this time. As far as for the longest time, I mean, you guys read the book, but for the longest time, I didn't know how the kids felt about me. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it? Does a 10-year-old like express themselves, like how much you mean to them and how much you're guiding them and thank you for being there for me? I mean, I don't think so. Yeah. I didn't know. Let's face it. Well, Julian was hopeless.
I was going to actually tell you too. I loved how in the book that you would throw in, kind of how, like, I mean, doesn't matter how you become a parent, because you did take on a parenting role, like you reflect on your own parents and how they impact you and how you speak to children. So I like that you were reflecting on some of the stuff your dad would do, and you're like, wait, do I want to be like that?
Or, oh, absolutely. You know, what a blessing that was. I mean, it was like a sociological experiment, you know, like I would think about, what did my parents do to me?
And that's exactly what we think about. I mean, I'm always telling Megan, like, wait, I don't want to pass that on to my kids.
Right.
So, you know, that's where we break those cycles.
Right.
You know, so I thought that was really amazing that you put that in your story, because it's true. It's exactly valid, and it's exactly what happens.
Absolutely. Well, it's so funny you say the cycle, because during this whole process, I would say to my mother, oh, you know, I'm not going to let, I don't know whatever the example is, I'm not going to let Tyler do this, or I'm going to be more like this with him. I'm breaking cycles. And my mother would be, my mother would be like, ugh, good luck. She was so not on board with my newfound confidence and, yeah, and parenting role. But that's exactly what that was. And you understand that since I'm not around this, all of this, like, it may have been obvious to, like, you guys because you're moms, but for someone like me, I thought I was inventing this. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, I'm like, oh, yes. Do people know that they can break cycles with other people's children? This is fantastic.
Oh, man, I love it.
That you ended up having this awesome connection between or with Tyler and Nicole.
Yeah.
Even after your breakup with Julian of mm-hmm. 7 years. So mm-hmm. has being the girlfriend mom, I mean, it's clearly, you think you've already covered this, but I wonder if there's anything more beyond this, because you said you've grown mm-hmm. confident along the way and comfortable in your own skin, but have there been any other strengths that's come about that maybe you didn't know you had, maybe any valuable lessons that you learned along the way?
Sure. It would have all been a waste of time. Now,
this is true.
I hope so. I think resilience. I knew I was resilient, but wow, when I made the decision not to walk away from these kids and have to be with them and be reminded of their dad, that was hard. That mm-hmm. was painful. And all I kept thinking about was Tyler and Nicole and what this would mean to them.
Yeah.
And so I just put my own pain, not in any kind of noble way, but I just tried, these are kids. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like that was the right thing to do. So I think resilience, I think also my stubbornness and wee bit of naivete was a strength in the end, because I think had I thought it through perhaps a little bit more, I may have made other choices. But I was so, I'm going to do this and I'm going to show Julian and I'm going to show everybody what my relationship with them means to me and to them. And so, I don't know what else really to say about that.
Are you still in contact with them now?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. And what about Julian? Are you in contact with him, or is he just completely out of the picture?
Oh, you're adorable. No, we haven't spoken. We haven't spoken since maybe 6 months after we broke up.
Okay.
I have not heard. I know what's going on just through the kids, but mm-hmm. No, he has not reached out to me. Fine. We all have to do our own thing, make our own choices. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I
was going to ask you, Danny. So in your book, you say that, you know, like, just like you said, you cut ties with Julian, and it was then a choice for yourself to make, to decide to stay in the kids' lives. So what about their mom? Can you tell us about your relationship or what that's like?
Well, because, Tyler was still living with his mom when his dad and I split, she was the only way that I could stay in touch with him. You know, he didn't drive. He wasn't keeping his own social calendar. So I was forced to reach out to her. We didn't really have a relationship during my 7 years with Julian. You know, the proverbial soccer field hello and mm-hmm. and this and that, but we have since become family.
Wow,
that's so cool. Awesome.
We love it. We are friends and friendly. We have gone out together socially. We sing together. It's so amazingly bizarre that it makes me laugh.
I love it.
From, you know, where we were to where we are. And when you think about it, and I know I'm very fortunate to be in this position, but when you think about it, who knows more about what I just went through, but the ex-wife? Yeah. We have so many shared experiences, and it was so cathartic to have these 7 hour, not exaggerating, conversations with her about what happened. And that I wasn't crazy for thinking this, that, and the other thing, and for doubting that the kids loved me or anything, any of those considerations. And she just made it all okay for me. She really did. And I will forever be grateful for her for that.
What a blessing.
That
excites us that there is an awesome ending to your story. Well, it's still happening, so that's amazing. So what do you guys call each other? Blended family? Or
we call each other family. There's no need for blended. There's no need for mixture.
I love that.
yeah
it's true. Just,
we are. She and I are friends, and the follow-up to this book is the ex-girlfriend mom, because there's so much of the story that I haven't told, which is the development of my relationship, not only with her, but how much my relationship with the kids have grown.
Yes. So we got the sneak peek.
You do.
Yay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Danny,
one
of the last questions I do want to ask you,
sure.
In regards to your book and your story, is if you could give our listeners any piece of advice when it comes to finding that confidence, finding your voice with challenges, with choosing or even wanting to have the role of a mother, what would it be?
Oh, wow, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And just so you know, the thing about advice for me is that I am so bullheaded and practical that I have to try something, go through it, cry, do it, see for myself. I wouldn't listen to anyone's advice. But if there's somebody out there that wants a little bit of advice, I would say to trust yourself. You know a lot more than you think you do. And you must speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. There were too many times I didn't stand on my own 2 feet and speak up. And I deferred to my ex, which I will say, having a supportive and emotionally evolved partner is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Love so that. Choose wisely. Choose wisely, people.
I like that.
Choose wisely. Love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So we usually like to end our interviews with some fun questions. So I've got the first one, if you're down for it.
I'm so down.
Lay it on me. You had to do lots of parenting on the fly. So what was one or some of your biggest girlfriend and mom fails?
You don't have that kind of time. Let's see, besides cursing like a sailor in their presence all the fucking time.
Yeah.
How about the fact that I would constantly use irony to explain ideas to Tyler when he was 8 and bewildered why he didn't get it?
That's
or
amazing.
making donations to the Alzheimer's Association in the kids' name and giving them the receipts as their Christmas gifts.
Oh, no, you did.
Oh, yeah, I did. And I was shocked that they weren't more appreciative. Like, you spoiled little shits. Wow.
That's great. Okay, so question number two. What's been one of the funniest things Tyler or Nicole have done, and at what age were they, or how old were they?
Oh my god. It's kind of interesting. It wasn't their funny actions, it was always things that they'd say. And this is probably this might only amuse me, but so when Tyler was nine and he would come into my room and I'd be working and we would just be chatting. And then when he left, he called me Danny Alfred instead of Albert. And I always wondered if he was making a joke or he'd actually forgotten my name. And I never asked him. Okay, so that was one thing that always stuck with me. Or when Nicole called me out of my shit one day after I dragged her sofa shopping with me. And I was painfully indecisive. And after about an hour, she turns to me and she blurts out something like, "You're whining like a toddler with a load in your pants. Pick one."
That's awesome.
I was like, wow. So how could I not love these kids?
Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Kids definitely keep you honest. That's for sure.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Talk about shining a light on all of your imperfections and flaws. Right?
Big facts. Wow. Yep.
I'm like, I don't need that. Awesome.
So you actually answered question three, which was, are there plans in the future for more books? So really excited. So are you currently working on The Ex-Girlfriend Mom, or?
I am. Okay. Before I forget everything. Right. You know, you get to a certain age, ladies, you start forgetting. So I think there's a lot more story to tell now that they're adults, and and especially with Marie, the ex-wife. I think women need to hear that it's possible that the movies out there about the crazy ex-wife and the bitchy girlfriend, you know, it's just they're the stereotypes, you know. Right. And I think there's another story, there's another kind, there's another way to do this.
Absolutely. We agree. Well, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, this has been a great, great chat with you. And definitely a different perspective on parenting, because you are the first of our kind of interviewees. So thank you.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, Danny. So before you go, where can people find you and engage with you and find out more about your book?
They can buy the book anywhere you buy your books, and they can go to my website, DannyAlpert.com, and hit me up with questions, thoughts, or feelings.